This afternoon, everyone, I want to deal with a very important subject, but I'll ask you a question, a very important question, and I want you to think about it as you answer this question from your perspective. And that question is, how important is what you believe? How important is what you believe? That's the title of the sermon. I want you to think about it because the Bible has much to say about what we should be believing. But people today believe many different things. People believe based on their perception of things. And when you take into consideration, everybody has been brought up in different cultures, different backgrounds, different circumstances, things that have impacted their lives. All of that has formulated your belief. It's how you think. It's how you see things in the world in which you and I live. Now, this is a very important subject for all of us because, again, as I say, the Bible addresses this. And if we were to ask from this point of view, is there something that could keep you out of the kingdom of God? Is there something that could keep you out of the kingdom of God, which we know is our goal? Because according to the Son of God, when he walked the earth, in the famous prayer we call the Lord's Prayer, what did he say? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. The kingdom of God is coming to this earth in the process of time. When? We don't have to worry about that. That's on God's timetable. But it is important to understand that since that is the destiny for human beings, according to the Word of God, and that is where we get into some very important issues, especially in the day and age in which we're living, we're going to do some comparisons, and I want you to think carefully about these areas because you and I are seeing these things happen before our very eyes right now in the prophetic scope of things. Things are exploding like you wouldn't believe, that are setting the stage for future events that are going to just catapult us forward into a time like we have never seen before. People talk about it in generic terms. The Bible talks in specific terms, and it says these are times that are coming that you don't want to be there. You want to be in the loving care of Almighty God and under his divine umbrella of safety and protection. And his holy angels are going to be there to serve and assist those who will be in need in those days. That time is yet ahead. We can see some of the things beginning to erupt on the horizon of life. And they're telling us that the Bible is confirmed. If you have eyes to see and ears to hear, you are seeing the Bible confirmed before your very eyes each and every day. But there's a sad scenario going on out there. And there are things that are jamming the frequency, and the message can't get through. There are things happening on a day-to-day basis, and I hate to say this, dear brethren, but many of us are not awake. Many of us are not alert to what is really happening. We're asleep at the switch when the Bible tells us that we should be crying aloud and showing my people their sins. And the people don't know what their sins are. They don't even know that sin exists. They don't believe the things that are in the Bible. And that's why I ask you this question. How important is what you believe? Do you believe the same things that God says you should believe? Or do you believe the things that other people say and believe? Many times people will walk up to you and we get into conversation with people and they say, well, what do you believe about this? What do you believe about? The truth of the matter is it doesn't matter what you and I believe. If it is not the correct understanding, then our belief is wrong, no matter what it is that we profess to believe. There are consequences for unbelief. And the Bible makes it very clear for all of us that we are here to learn. Why are we here today? Because we're being prepared for a tremendous service in the kingdom of God. We're told we're to be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. Well, let's face it, folks. You and I are not ready for the king and priest responsibility. We like to think we are, but we are very, very much lacking in many areas. The kingdom of God is going to be a kingdom that operates on a very important principle. Number one, it is love. It operates on love, not hate. And to be a success in the kingdom of God and to serve in the kingdom of God, it is based on love. That's why it says, if you know God, you know that God is love. That's how he set it up. He wants everyone to love one another and to be at peace with one another. His son is called the Prince of Peace. And he is going to come again and bring peace to this earth because the world doesn't have peace. It's falling in pieces all over the place. And people are suffering as never before. When we were called by the grace of God to come into the body of Christ, the church of God, we were given a specific charge. That charge was that we were to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and to become like him. And he was going to do what? He was going to model for us how this life was to be lived. You and I came into a ready-made world. We did not know how this life was to be lived. Some people told us you should do this and live this way. Others said you should do that and do it. And people have demonstrated in many ways different forms of life that they believe in. But it is not in harmony with what God says we should believe in. They have been sold a bill of goods, as Revelation 12, verse 9 says, by the serpent, the god of this world. And what he has done, he has maligned the true way of life and substituted many counterfeits that you and I are hearing every day of our lives, and we bump into these things. For example, our calling is to preach the gospel of the coming kingdom of God. Satan says, no, I don't want to hear that. He wants to stay in charge. He don't want to hear that God's kingdom is coming. So he focuses everyone's attention on what? The problems that people have. And he talks about we need to be out there and get in the streets for the social gospel. The social gospel. So that we can all love each other and be at peace. Oh, that sounds so good, but it is so wrong. It is wrong as wrong can be. Because there will be no social gospel solving the problems of this world. Man's heart is corrupt. Jeremiah 17:9. It is desperately wicked, and who can know it? And it takes a lot of courage for us to have to look at ourselves and admit, yeah, that's my heart. I've got that kind of heart. I don't want that kind of heart, but thrown into certain situations, I'm just like everybody else. I would respond like everybody else. I would do like everybody else. But God didn't call us to be like everyone else. He called us to be different. He called us to be his divine sons and daughters and to glorify him with the life that he has given to us. Because you and I do not have life by any other source. God is the source of all life. This Bible is the manual of life, given by God, the great creator of life, who gave it to us under divine inspiration, working with the individuals to help us understand who we are, why we are, why we're in this situation today. Where is it all going? How will it all turn out? We all want to know why. Why? God says, why is not in your hands to determine. How is in your hands? How are you going to respond to all that is happening? When you see this, when you see that, how are you going to respond? Not asking the question, well, why? God tells us why in his word, that the whole world has gone astray and walks contrary to the way of God, and the thing that is undoing them is that they have turned away from God to unbelief. They don't believe the things of God. This becomes very, very serious from the Word of God's point of view because there are consequences that every human being experiences when they don't believe what God says. That's where you and I come in, because we are to model the things of God. In a world that is not modeling the things of God, we have got to determine in our own mind Do I hang on to my old beliefs, the things I, well, like people say, that old-time religion is good enough for my grandma and grandpa and mom and dad, it's good enough for me. Is that good enough? No, it's not good enough. Unless it is the religion of God, and actually, it is not necessarily religion per se. It's a way of life. And it's a way of life that is designed to help bring fullness and happiness into our life. God has given us a role model. He chose to do it with an Old Testament group of people he called, and then he said, I'm going to let them demonstrate what I'm trying to explain to my people who in the New Testament would be called the saints of God. And what we see is in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 6, and verse 11, that it was all written for our learning to bring us what? To what we need to know as we approach the end of man's rule. Man's rule is coming to an end. There are forces at work, dear brethren. I wish I could tell you all the details, but there are things that you and I are not aware of. Things that have been working behind the scene. We see an awful lot of external things that are being brought to our attention each and every day on the news media and the like. But the world we live in is not to be understood or perceived as being the way it really is. God wants us to understand and perceive properly. And in order to do that, we have to believe what God says. He's the only one who will never lie to us. He'll never give us fake news. He will never tell us things that are erroneous. Because why? He's bringing us to the kingdom of God, not trying to keep us out of it like Satan the devil is. And so Satan has thrown all kinds of distractions in every direction to feed the appetite of the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And he's hoping he can hit a target with each and every one who is being called to God's way of life at this time. That's why you have to make the choice yourself. We're told in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, that God has commissioned us to choose. We must choose life, which only comes from him, the source of all life, or death, which comes from the god of death, Satan the devil. It's what he has promulgated in this world. And what our young people today need to understand is that they are the targets. We're all targets in one sense of the word, but I hate to say this, folks, especially to all of us who are up in years. You and I don't count anymore. We do with God, but not in this world. This world is right now being designed to go after our young people. And everything from 16 to 35 is a dead zone. If they can grab that group of people and totally turn them away from the God of the scriptures, they will have brought about what the scriptures tell us will be Babylon the Great, a final conflict. You've heard it called the one world order. You've heard it called other things. But it is coming. And it will be the most terrifying period of time in human history for those who don't go along with it. That's why most are going to cave to it. People go the line of least resistance. And unless you know what you believe and are firmly convinced in it, you'll go along with it. Today, people are doing things that 10 years ago, they said, oh, I would never do that. They're doing it today. Things have changed in your lifetime, in my lifetime. And because most of us who are older, we remember things from the past that the younger generation doesn't understand. Therefore, they are the targets, because if they can be remolded and reshaped, then they can be used as a pawn in the hands of the real people behind the scenes. This is what God is. We wage war against wicked spirits in high places, Ephesians 6 and verse 12. It's telling us it's going on. But if you don't believe God, you'll say, oh, I don't believe that. Frankly, who cares what anybody believes? What anybody believes, if it's not the truth of God, doesn't mean a hoot and a hang. What God says is the only thing that will endure forever. You and I, I'd love to say we could endure forever. We're not going to endure forever. We're gone. 100 years from now, nobody will know who we are, what we are, where we were. Who are you? Only God will remember us. Because he counts all the stars in the heaven. You think he can't count each and every one of us and know where we are and what we're doing? He is God, and there is none like unto him. And he has given us a demonstration of who he is through his Son, Jesus Christ. And if we embrace Jesus Christ, we embrace God the Father. If we don't embrace Jesus Christ, we don't embrace God the Father. And Jesus said he will honor us if we honor him whom God has sent. And that's why it is so important for us to keep these principles in mind. The Israelites of the Old Testament are a history written for our learning. Romans, you've heard me say this so many times, Romans 15 and verse 4, everything that has been written is for our learning. I mean, anything we do in life is a learning experience. And if we don't learn to do it the right way, then we've done it the wrong way. And in most cases, we've done so many things the wrong way when it comes to the truth of God. When we are given the blessing of God, and this is why God admonishes young people in Ecclesiastes 12, seek the Lord while you're in your youth, before those older days come when you can't do the things you do. You see all these campers doing all those things at the various camps? They won't be able to do that when they're 60s and 70s. Right now they're having fun because they're in the youthful prime of life. And all of us who have been there, done that, we remember those days. And say, boy, I sure wish I could do that now. But we can't. We can in our minds, but these bodies are just not working anymore like they used to. But while your bodies are working, young people, you want to listen to what God has to say because it affects your future, just like it affects all of us. In the book of Hebrews, we are told in chapter 3, verse 12 through 14, it says, be careful then, dear friends, and make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving. You see, this is a matter of whether you believe or you don't believe. We're going to pare it down to so simple a child can understand. Because, you know, when somebody says something to you, and it is based on factuality, not hearsay or secondhand, you know, commentary, and you say, I don't believe that. You see what came into play? I and disbelief. I don't believe that. So it's important to get rid of the I. The Bible tells you it's humility that we all must come to understand, and we have to do what? Not only get rid of the I, we have to submit ourselves to God. That's humility. And once we humble ourselves totally to God, we are told that we are to do what? Believe. Believe everything God says. Because it is God's voice that makes the difference. That's where Adam and Eve went haywire in the Old Testament. They were explained. God gave him the instruction, said, look, here's what I want you to do. Here's what I don't want you to do. They didn't do it. Later, he told it when the Israelites were out. He says very clearly to us, he says, there was a time, he said, that the people, they were following God's instruction. Then they lost their way. They didn't follow anymore. And so God says, look, I didn't ask when I brought you out of Egypt. I didn't ask you to go ahead and have sacrifices and all these different things. He said, what I asked you to do is obey my voice. Why? Because the voice of God is the voice of eternal life. Jesus said it in John 6:63. He said, the words that I speak, he says, are spirit and life. Because God is a Holy Spirit. He gives life to all things. And without God, there is no life. Life cannot come from non-existent life. That's why he is considered the great I am that I am. He is the supreme God. And we are told that we must be careful to make sure that our own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, as it says, turning you away from the living God. You cannot turn away from the living God. When we see examples of Jesus in the gospel account, what happened? There were many that did not walk with him anymore. He turns to his disciples. He says, are you going to go too? And Peter says, where can we go? You only have the words of eternal life. There's no other place to find it. There's no other, nothing out there that's going to tell you who you are, what you are, why you're on this earth, and what is your destiny? Where do you want to go? Do you want to be canceled out forever? Or do you want to live forever? Anybody in their right mind will say, I want to live forever. And God says, do what I tell you. Follow my instructions. Because if you do, and you set your heart to follow me even to the end and endure to the end, you will be saved. And how are we going to be saved? By the grace of God. Because he wants to save us. Because he loves us. He's not going to turn us away. The Bible makes it very clear as a loving father how he watches over us. And so we are told, you must warn each other. Notice the way these scriptures are written. You must warn each other every day. Because that's all you have. You don't have yesterday. You have the hope of tomorrow, but all you have is today. And what should you do with today? Walk in the fear of God all day long. Know who's in charge. Know who is the power that governs our lives. Because we live, move, and have being by the grace of God. And that's the only reason we live. And what problems and difficulties come up, everyone is exposed to because we live in a hostile world. It is not the kingdom of God. How are we going to become kings and priests one day? Only by listening to the instruction of God's word and doing what he says. And then we'll be training other people who have never heard these things, never understood what God's purpose for life is. And when their time comes, it will be our job to serve now in the kingdom of God and help them to understand what their purpose is. And they want the same thing we want. They want to live at peace. They want to have a family. They want to live life. They want to see their children, their grandchildren grow up. There's nothing wrong with any of that. That is what God would love us. But people have to be taught. When we take, by the grace of God, our new little children come into the world, what do? We have to teach them. We have to wipe their bottoms. We have to clean them up. We have to take care of them and feed them when they go, wah, wah. You can't just look at them and say, shut up, kid. That wouldn't be right. You take them in your arms and you kiss on them and you love on them and say, come here, come here, come here, come here. Everything's all right. Mommy's here. Daddy's here. We love you. And you talk to them. You've done it. You know what I'm talking about. And when you go through those experiences, you're seeing exactly what God has done for each and every one of us. How he loves us, how he takes care of us, how he cleans us up in a spiritual way to clean our hearts and get rid of all the sin and all the things that are offensive, because he loves us and he wants us in the kingdom of God. And Jesus told his own disciples in the Gospel of John, he says, look, I go, let not your hearts be troubled. Why? Because people's hearts are troubled. Satan kind of keeps you always on edge, always worried about this, worried about that. Everybody's got problems. If you live in Satan's world, you're going to have problems. It's not the kingdom of God. That's why we pray, thy kingdom come. We can't wait for that day to come. But boy, there's going to be some hot times in the old town tonight before it ever gets to that point. And you and I must be prepared as a people for that day. Because once the switch is thrown, it's on its way. And you and I have got to be ready. And the only way we're going to be ready is to make every day count. And that's why for those of us who are older, we realize, hey, we've seen the better of our days by the grace of God. We would love to see many, many more, but we don't know. Only God knows. But what about you young people who hear the voice? Their futures are very much important to God. And the enemy also knows this. All you have to do is realize a little bit of history. And you know, we have been so dumbed down that we do not remember what has happened just some 70-some plus years ago. There are people today walking and you think we're an intelligent society. Why do they think that the earth is flat? It's called a flat earth society. Do you know there are people who still believe that? They say it was a hoax with the rockets going up to the moon, that the astronauts never went up there. Now, do you believe that? These people believe that. People believe what they have been told if they have not listened carefully and proved it to themselves. Their perception then becomes what they... This goes back into the history books, folks. And most of us, let's face it, we are blinded when it comes to history. That's the warning to the Laodicean church. You think you're rich and increased with goods and you have need of nothing. Most of us could not even give an answer. What is the key? What is the key that the communist world has used to undo the Western world in which we live? Do you know what that is? Most people don't. Communism ended, didn't they say? Didn't the Soviet Union, didn't they collapse? And aren't we the only superpower? Oh, I'm sorry, folks. That's not the way it is. Your perception is wrong. The Russians still have their rockets. They still are practicing what they have always preached, communism. And they have done it so well that most of us don't even know, because we think communism died when the Soviet Union collapsed. All they did was change their flag, and they're still going on the way they've always gone on. If you go back a little bit further in history, you find out that there was a man named Lenin. Who was Lenin? Well, he was the originator of the Soviet Union. Oh, okay. But most people don't realize that goes back to 1917, the Communist Revolution and all that stuff, and Tsar Nicholas being overthrown, that's history. Well, what has that got to do with me? It's got everything to do with you, because nothing is new under the sun. What has been is what will be. Let me show you just a short, small smattering of it. Now, I'm only touching the tips of the surface of this thing. If you go back and study the documentations, it's there. They're showing documentaries on TV today that validated much of this stuff. If I were to ask you, how many know about Maslow's laws? Maslow's laws. Maslow, who in the world is Maslow? Maslow gave Lenin the secret of how to undo a person. And what he did was very plain. Maslow came up with a certain element of laws. And so those laws built into the fact that people can be engineered. Engineered. They can be guided. That's what we do. We train our children. All nations train their children. And what you and I are experiencing is a change from what parents used to teach their children years ago to what they teach them now. Things that were verboten years ago are now acceptable. Did not the Bible tell us the truth? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. And we're seeing it happen. Well, what about instead of preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, which the scripture tells us our goal is, and what we're striving to do with the United Church of God, what do we hear in the world being preached? What do the churches of the world teach? The social gospel. The social gospel. And it's talked about social engineering. What are you engineering? You're engineering us to go in a direction that is not what our forefathers in this country understood. That's why our country is so in trouble today. We are a divided country. The scripture tells us a divided house cannot stand. Our people do not know their identity. They don't know where they came from. They don't know how they were so blessed. They never studied the scriptures. Ministers never got up and told the people just exactly what they needed to hear. And as the scripture says, to cry aloud in Isaiah 58, and show my people, the house of Jacob, their sins. Where have we gone wrong? We have forgotten our God and we have turned to unbelief. We don't want to believe what the Bible has to say anymore. When you throw the Bible out the window, bang. Your God now becomes Satan the devil. You've turned from the true God to the God of this world. These are some frightening times, folks. And it's a mad admonition in the scriptures that we are living in a world of deception. And the whole world has been deceived, but they can't believe that they are deceived. They can't believe it. They don't want to believe it. And so many of them live in denial. You and I had to struggle our way out of those very things ourselves to come to know the truth. And when Jesus said what he did in John 17:17, he said what? Once you grasp and comprehend what really life is all about and where it came from, he says, you will notice something, that the truth that flows from God, because that's all he can do is speak truth, and he sets the standard of what is true. He has every right to be, because he is the Most High God and responsible for all of us. And he says, when you know the truth will do what? Take away the chains of deception, and suddenly you're going to be able to, you're going to, oh my, what is going on here? I had no idea this was here. You'll then begin to understand why Jesus said what he did, that the straight and narrow way that leads to life, where does that go to? It's a very narrow place. And when you get way over here, you're going the way of destruction. You're leaving the path. If you get way over here, you're doing the same thing. You stay where God tells you to stay. And that's where the struggle we all fight, because we are hard-hearted Israelites. We don't like anyone telling us what to do. And God says, I am going to tell you what to do for all eternity. And if that rubs you wrong, then you won't be in the kingdom of God. If you have something better than I have to offer, go for it. Verily you have your reward. But if you want eternal life and follow Jesus Christ, he says you're going to have to do what? Surrender your will to the will of God, because it is God who gives you your life. And everything you possess is from that God. And that should make it very clear how much he loves you. The admonition of Scripture is that God said what happened to those Israelites back then, character-wise, is happening to our people in this end time. But see, people can't comprehend that because they don't think we're Israelites. They think that's just those Jews over there in the area of the Middle East. But when you understand what's happening, why our nation is suffering from this and that and all these other things, and why individuals are out on the street marching, a lot of young people out there on the street marching, demanding. And they know not what they even are demanding. They don't realize, according to history, they're merely pawns in the hands of people behind the scenes who are using them. Just the same way, 70-some years ago, Adolf Hitler did the same thing. He learned from the Boy Scouts of America. He said, give me the youth, and I can control much. And so that's exactly what he did. He created Hitler Youth. The Russians are still doing it with their youth programs. They're following, and they did what? They trained the youth. They dressed them up in uniforms. They took them to summer camps, just like the Boy Scouts of America, and camping is not wrong. But what you see is they did it, and then they use it to indoctrinate them in the Nazi philosophy of life that made many of them the SS-dreaded soldiers of World War II. This is so frightening. Because it's happening again before our very eyes. Young people out there marching. And they think they're doing such a wonderful job, and they don't realize they're being used to dismantle the very country that they live in. And it's setting them up for the worst fall of their life. Once it has been accomplished, and it will be accomplished, they're not going to give up on this. And once that is accomplished, dear brethren, what's going to happen is that they're going to throw them aside, just like Hitler did. Once Hitler started his movement, he used what is called the brown shirt movement. And he used that to harass the people and get them all going. And then once he got where he wanted to go, he used the SS to wipe out all the brown shirts. And the young people are going to be shocked when one day they find out they're not in charge. They think they're in charge. But there are powers behind the scene. This is what the Bible has been trying to tell us in Ephesians. You wage war against wicked spirits in high places. It's not what we see. It's not what we think we see. Our perceptions have been so blinded by our unbelief. And there are so many areas where it's been hard for us to really believe what God has said. There's only two choices that we have when you really get down to it. Either you believe God or you don't. That's what you and I have to answer for. You either believe God or you don't. Now, there's going to come a time where individuals are going to be brought before certain groups and councils, it tells us, and they're going to do what? They're going to demand certain things, and we're going to have to give an answer for what we believe. And what does it say? God says he's going to give us, through his Spirit, a mouth to say and wisdom to speak. He says to shut their mouths, a wisdom that they cannot stand against. This is God working out his plan and purpose for all of us. God's voice is not heard by a closed mind. God's voice is not heard by a closed mind, a mind that will not listen to what God has to say. Your life, my life, everyone's life only has meaning if you believe in God according to the Scriptures. You cannot answer who you are, what you are, why. And that's the most important question everyone wants to know. What am I doing here? Where am I going? I get kind of tired when I hear ministers get up there and say, God has a plan for you. And I sit there and I say, okay, tell me what the plan is. They don't know. They don't know what the plan is. That's why you keep the Sabbath. That's why you keep the holy days, because God is saying, I'll show you what the plan is. We're going to make a complete change upon all mankind and bring them into the kingdom of God, but it's not going to be like they say. Jesus is not going to sit down at the table and say, can we negotiate this matter? Quite differently, he's going to say, this is the way, walk you in it. And the Scriptures are very clear on that. No, we see that the writers of the Bible tell us that mankind has rebelled against God. We are just as guilty as everyone else. We have rebelled against him too, and we have had to come to repentance by the grace of God. He has led us to repentance and showed us how wrong we have been and why we need to change. And once we discovered how our life is tied to God, then we realize the only way you can really live is when you are united with God and his purpose for giving us life. If you're not united and have if we go back to the book of Genesis, you read there, it says, in the process of time, it says, Adam knew his wife, Eve, and then they brought forth Cain and Abel. That word knew has great meaning, because it's more than just the intimacy of an act that brings about a child. It's talking about intimacy. He didn't walk up and say, hi, Eve, can I shake your hand? He knew her. He came to be a part of her and she of him. And there was an intimacy that was shared with him that brought forth life. And God wants us to have an intimate relationship with him and Jesus Christ, that we know who our God is. We don't guess. We know why he told us to do what he did. We know that we have not always walked that way, and so we've been called to repent. And now God is teaching us the very important areas of life that if any of you have an evil heart of unbelief from leaving the living God, that's in Hebrews 3 and verse 12, such departing means that you're headed for spiritual death, because only God can give us spiritual life. So if we walk away from him and we say, well, I don't believe in what they're saying about God, then we're headed for spiritual death, because only God can give us spiritual life. We don't want to rebel. We have to remember that in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, faith, trust in God, believing in what he says. He says you have to have what? It's impossible to please God. You got to know that he is. You have to prove it in your own personal life. That's got to be your understanding. And what? And that he is a rewarder of those that diligently follow his instruction, that go with him and know that God's best desires are for all of us. If you go back and see what people are doing today, here's a quick synopsis of what you hear every day. Events happen, and people will say, it's the culture. The culture's got to change. We're in a culture war. We're in a culture this, culture that. Well, whose culture is right? No human culture is right. Only the culture of God is right, and that is revealed in the Scriptures. Nobody wants to follow that. So all they're doing is arguing with one another. and saying, we need to have this kind of culture or that kind of. Well, as soon as you get this kind of culture, the other person's mad and says, I want it to be my culture. And God says, your cultures don't matter. It's what I say and what I determine that's going to be the case. So if it's the culture, then what do we say? Society is at fault. Society made me what I am. Oh, with your compliance, with your belief in society. That's why you are what you are. How does a person who's totally wiped out on drugs, the culture made me do it? What do young people grow up if they're not careful? We've all heard it. Can I do this? Can I do that? The young person says to the parent. The parent says, no, you can't do that. He says, but everybody else is doing it. Are we supposed to be like everybody else? If everybody else jumps off the cliff, are we supposed to jump off the cliff with them? No, we're supposed to use the brain God gave us, and we look and say, that's kind of stupid. They get killed jumping off a cliff like that. Well, there are people who are actually today who have allowed themselves to be led astray. And you and I are being called of God to redeem the time, to reevaluate ourselves, as this Passover season was all about, so that we have to really look and evaluate how solid are we in what we believe? How solid are we going in the right direction? Because the Laodiceans, according to Revelation 3, they're rich and increased with good, have nothing, need of nothing. They don't have to change. And yet Jesus is rebuking them out of love and saying, look, get your act together. Well, can't you see what's happening? And then we look down and we see what happens. People say, well, I couldn't help what I did because why? Circumstances. They blame circumstances for certain things they do. Then there's others who blame others. Oh, this is one of the biggies. We love to blame others. There are people today, we're hearing it on the news every day. They're saying, because this group of people did this and this group of people did that, this is why this is and this is why that is. No. Everyone, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It is God who is to be glorified. Christ is to be glorified. And get your mind off of all this foolishness that human beings are being led astray in. Satan wants to keep everybody so actively involved in all these different causes so that they forget the proper cause for which you and I have been called. Prepare for your kingship and your rulership in the kingdom of God. Jesus said he goes to prepare a place for us, and he certainly has plans for us. No, you can blame others. We go back to the Bible. Bible teaches all. Where was the first blame game practiced? Adam. When God called Adam on account, notice accountability, what have you done? Well, Lord, if you had not given me this woman, it's all her fault. She's the one to blame. Adam, look what he's doing, accusing God, blaming God. And then what does Eve do? She says, well, that's a hot number here. You're dumping it on me. I'll just pass it on to the snake. The snake did it. So she blamed the snake. So God called them both into account and said, look, you both had a part in this whole thing. And then he explains what he did. So this victim mentality, well, we hear so much of that today. People just crying, as we say, crying, singing a song, you know, a blue, blue, blue. I feel so blue because I don't know what to do. And it's victim mentality. And so what we end up seeing is that you cannot excuse or justify wrong behavior, is what God is saying. We have to recognize repeated rejections of the gospel message of what God says about the kingdom of God. You do that enough, it hardens your heart. And if you keep disbelieving what God says, then you see why he was angry with the Israelites in the Old Testament. And what did he say? He gave them an opportunity to go into the promised land. Now, we're to learn from that because they were not given the Spirit of God. It wasn't part of the plan of God at that time. Pentecost hadn't been yet fulfilled. But we see that they were given an opportunity to go. They started out on the right track, but then what did they do? Read 1 Corinthians 10 to your own pleasure, and you will see it spells out. They began to murmur. They began to complain. They started doing all kinds of things that God says, do not do this. And he got so angry with them, he says, all right, 40 years, symbol of trial, 40 years, you go out and you're going to go into the wilderness. The only two that obeyed God was Joshua and Caleb, because they believed God. And they were privileged to go into the land. All the rest died. What is the lesson to be learned there? We better listen to what God says, because there's no fun living in the wilderness. And the wilderness is all around us. And we need to understand these lessons for our own personal survival. Until a person becomes committed to believing the Word of God and the Bible, what was the problem, it says? They heard his voice, they heard what he said, but they didn't mix it with faith. Now, you and I are hearing these same words in our lifetime, and we are commanded to mix it with faith, to trust God, to believe him in what he says. And you say, well, how can I know that I can really trust him? It says, look back there, see what happened to them. What happened to them? They started out, God was there with them. How come only two out of the whole group could see it? Do you have eyes to see what Joshua and Caleb, what they saw? They saw the hand of God. And they said, let's don't doubt. Hey, this city of Jericho is nothing. We can take it. God brought us out of Egypt. We can do it. Oh, no. There's giants in there. No. What happened? Disbelief cost them their inheritance in the promised land. Could we lose our inheritance in the kingdom of God if we disbelieve God? I believe we can. I believe there are people who started out on the right track in the church of God, but they get embittered. They blame others. They don't want to love certain people. They just want to love their own, and they're very comfortable with their own, but they're not happy to be with other people. Why does God throw us together with such a mix? Why does he give us a, because it's not normal. All of us come from different backgrounds. He wants us to get together to know what it's like, how other people have lived. They haven't lived like you. They don't perceive life like you. They're learning how their life is to be, just like you are. And when we all learn what our purpose in life is, we don't care who and where we came from. We know our destiny is to become sons and daughters of God. And if he can number the stars in the heavens above and has the power to do it, and all that, he can do anything for us. And that's why we're told to pray. That's why we're told to believe. The scripture tells us that there are consequences for those who don't believe. We are given the gift of choice, Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. Deuteronomy 30, verses 15 through 20. And we find that there were incidents where Jesus came in contact with certain people, like in Matthew 19 and verse 26, where, if you'll turn there in Matthew 19 and verse 26, you'll notice something. Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26. There was a situation that came up. And the commentary is written for our learning. When Jesus said he beheld them, and he said unto them, because he was talking about the rich man, how can a rich man be saved? He can go through the eye of the camel. You remember that story. But Jesus then said, with men, in other words, when issues come up in life with men, certain things are impossible. You can't provide the answer. It's beyond your scope. You don't have the ability to do. But notice it says here, as Jesus continues, that with God, all things are possible. Well, then, what is it that we learn? if you have something that you can't do, you better go to God first because he can do it. You and I can't, but he can. And so it says, make your request known to God in prayer. That's why we emphasize prayer all the time. If you don't pray, you don't receive what God says. You've got to do what? You've got to ask. You've got to knock. And the door will be opened unto you. Or is God lying to you? Is he telling you it's not true? What about Titus 1:2, where it says, God, who gives us the hope and the promise of eternal life, who cannot lie. He can't violate his own commandments that he gave us, that if we would live by those commandments, we would understand they came from a God of love. And they demonstrate his love in a powerful way. Well, elsewhere, if you go to Mark chapter 10, let's go to the book of Mark chapter 10. And what do we see here? Mark chapter 9, or chapter 10, I'm sorry, Mark chapter 10 and verse 27. Here again, we have Jesus looking upon the individuals he was discussing and emphasizing with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Now, did Jesus believe that? Well, he must have, because he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he who was dead came forth to prove, and he did these things so that others hearing and seeing would recognize the power of the hand of God. Now, Mark 9 and verse 23. Mark chapter 9 and verse 23. Here comes a man with a very serious problem. His child is being vexed by a demon. There are people who are suffering because of demonic oppression, and the Bible tells us about it very plainly. He brings the child to Jesus, saying, what I need is your help, Lord, because the boy is being thrown into the fire. It looks like, to the average person just observing, that the boy is crazy. But he's not crazy because there's something else involved. And the scripture goes on to say, in verse 22, oftentimes, he's into the fire, then into the water, and it's trying to destroy him, this spirit. Have you heard situations where people want to commit suicide? What is the voice that they keep hearing that causes them to want to take their lives? It's not a healthy part. People don't normally want to commit suicide. When they're driven to that, there's external influence that needs to be understood. Then it goes on and it says, wants to destroy him, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This is what we pray to God for. Lord, have compassion upon us, please. Help us with our problems. We struggle with these things, and we don't have the power, but you do. We need to talk to God as the scriptures reveal. Talk to him in, this is how you honor him, by acknowledging what is revealed in scripture. And now notice what Jesus said. And he said unto him, if you can believe, notice, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Brethren, I believe that we are not using the Holy Spirit enough to really set the woods on fire and begin to see growth in the churches of God, growth in the lives of men and women, because we need to realize we are up against the full court press of the enemy. The enemy is out to destroy. And if he can dissuade us, cause us to unbelief, turn us away from the living God, he knows he's got us. Because there's only one way you go, either toward God or away from him. You believe and move toward him, or you disbelieve him and move away from him. And when you move away, all you have left is the world in which you live. And the world in which we live has not been kind to us. It has hurt us all. You've got battle scars, young and old. We've all got battle scars from this war that we fight. And it is something God has commanded. And notice what he goes on to say, the man. He says, with tears, he says, I believe, and you and I believe. But he also added, he knew something was still missing. And he says, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Help me to get past these areas where I've got this influence that makes me doubt everything. We live in a negative world. And you have to ask God to keep you on a positive note, even when things look bad. If we cave because things look bad, and see, we're always expecting things to look good, then read the book of Job. It's written for our learning. Things do not always work the way you think it's going to work. Something else was at work there in the book of Job. And when you read it, you discover what it is. And that's why most people don't want to read the book of Job. Because first of all, nobody wants any problems or trials. But life is filled with them, and you can't get away with them. I like one of the answers that was given to Thomas Alva Edison, who gave us the electric light concept. After 99 times, he kept trying to find that filament that was going to turn on that light bulb. Failure, 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 failure. Finally, he hit the right combination. One of the persons in his operation told him, he said, Mr. Edison, how does it feel that now you have succeeded where you have failed? He says, I never failed. What are you talking about? He says, I succeeded every time. I succeeded for 99 times what would not work. And the 100th time, it worked. That's a beautiful way to look at what we face day to day. And I will just end with a comment that was given to me by a dear lady, a widow lady years ago I was visiting. She passed on something that I thought, what wisdom of years. And she was one of the first to become a graduate of an institution over in Mississippi. And she says, Pastor, she says, I always remember something my mama told me. And I says, your mama told you well. Because she told her, this is what I operate on. Never let it rest until good is better and better is best. Never let it rest until good is better and better is best. You and I have been called to strive to be perfect like our Father in heaven. Dear brethren, we have a lot of work to do. Let's keep our shoulder to the plow. Keep pushing forward. Never look back. Don't forget about what it says there. Remember Lot's wife. She paid a terrible price for looking back. Let's go forward with the power of God guiding the way and Jesus Christ leading as our shepherd. And we have one of the most wonderful opportunities, what I call a chance of a lifetime. All our young people are about to have an opportunity like they've never believed before. But it'll always be predicated on whether or not they believe. And they're watching us to see what we do. Do we believe as the older generation? They're watching us to see how we operate. If we don't believe it, they're surely not going to believe it. But if they see that we believe it, it's going to be the greatest thing you can pass on to your loved ones. God help us all.